We're so glad you tuned in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Adriana, Tara, myself, Sandy, and we are still studying Philippians 1, and we are going to start with 25.
Well, we're going to read 21 through 30.
We're going to read 21 through 30. Then we're going to discuss maybe 25 through wherever we get.
Oh, yeah, however far we go this time.
Who knows,
really funny.
Right?
We always try to want to keep it in context by keeping it all together because that's the section in that passage. You know, we ended last time talking about how dying is a gain and the fulfillment of heaven. And we're going to be looking at why Paul was willing to continue to live so that he could impact the people of Philippi. So that's what we'll emphasize. Go ahead, Sandy, why don't you read the passage for us?
Okay. Philippians 1, 21 through 30. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me.
So beautiful.
I love it.
So go to verse 25 and let's start focusing in on why it's important to Paul to continue. And before we do it, I just want you guys to think, okay, if you were to find out that you were going to be executed tomorrow, why would you say in your heart it's important for you to continue on? For those around you?
Because until your last dying breath, you could bring somebody to Christ and you could, just like, you know, I always think about, everybody says, oh, it's too late, it'll never happen, whatever. There's hope for everyone because, you know, Jesus on the cross and the thief that accepted him at the last second of his life, it's always possible.
Always.
So we can't give up.
We cannot give up.
I think, too, just that if you are facing your impending death, like, no matter how strong you are in the spirit, there are going to be moments where you like would be afraid, basically. And this way, like, he's just basically reminding himself, okay, we need to stay focused on others rather than focused on what's going to happen to me and what's all that, you know.
That's good, because when we take our focus off of us,
right yeah. Okay,
we forget, so the fear, you
thinking
know?
Of the unbeliever. Now I want you to think from the perspective of those that you know that know the Lord. Why do you want to remain for them?
Well, simply to encourage them.
Yep.
I mean, especially when, like, in this situation it was persecution, you know. And if you are showing, oh my goodness, this is shaking my faith, like, you know, and you're not, like, I mean, you need to share your weaknesses with those around you, but if you're saying, no, I don't trust God in this, I mean, think about how bad that is for the church, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And I also think of family, you know. I love my little family.
Right, right.
I want to be with them as long as God allow me to be. So.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, some of that is definitely a selfish motivation in that we just love
absolutely.
Our people. I think this is, because it's not death, but every semester we have students that move on, they graduate. And Adriana, for example, is about to graduate. And so every time I see her, I think I need to get everything I can because she's leaving.
Mm-hmm. I'm still be around for a year.
I know. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's not going to be the same. They think it will be, but it's not, because you've graduated. You're moving on. And I feel this deep need to invest as much as I can. What can I pour in? What can I say? What will be significant? I find myself doing things like interrupting because I want to give everything I can. I, you know, it's the craziest thing, this mm-hmm. sense of urgency of pouring into them. For me, because when I was in college, my group that I hung out with, it was my roommate Lisa, myself, and then Denise and Glenna. And we were on opposite sides of the hall, but we four were always together. And at Christmas break, Glenna was murdered. So when we came back to college, it wasn't the same, and it never was the same again. Our group never came back together. We did not know how to move past what occurred.
It's a void.
And that sense of urgency, if you have encountered death, it, mm-hmm. it makes you stronger towards what you're doing and why you're doing.
Yeah.
They were seeing Christians being killed during this time. Paul knew he would be executed. That's why he's writing this letter. Mm-hmm. And so his will to continue, you know, when he says in the verse, he says, you know, it's better, which is better for, far better for you if I stay. You know, it's because he has that urgency for them to have more. And so I was thinking that for the Philippians, progress. Mm-hmm. He's wanting to see them grow. Mm-hmm. He's wanting them to go to the next level and to reach the next truth and understand the next thing they can so that they can find that encouragement, that hope, and the healing. It was for their joy. He tells us very clearly, it's for your joy. I want you to have joy. I want you to know what that is and what that looks like. That's why the book of Philippians is also referred to as the book of joy. Mm-hmm. He wants their faith to increase. He longs for their faith to go to the next level. He doesn't want them to stay where they're at. And so he's longing for that.
And that's why he's focusing on them, because joy is Jesus first, others, and then yourself.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
We got to think about that. And I also think we also need mentors. I didn't have one at the beginning, and it is so important. You know, Adriana, it's so great that you have Tara.
Yeah, definitely.
And Grace. And I just think about people that are trying to do this alone. That doesn't work. You know, we have Jesus to get us through, but you need others to gather around and pull us.
Yeah. The body of Christ alone.
Absolutely.
We're
united.
Yeah, we're a community. In fact, last night is really funny. Okay, so we were in the emergency room with a student. This is really funny. So myself and an RA, and it's a male RA because it's a male student, and they're sewing him up from an injury, and we're just all kind of like watching and taking photos and videos because that's what he wants. It's a college guy.
Yep.
And nurse looks up at me, and she goes, and then his two brothers shows up. And the nurse is like, there's a lot of people watching. And she goes, I don't think I've ever had this big of an audience. And I just laugh and I go, Grace University is about community, even when it comes to stitches. It's like, we don't do anything alone. No man's alone.
That's right.
It's about being a part of a family.
And that is important.
It is. It just makes it better. And as awful as the circumstances were, we were having fun in the room, and he was having fun, and, you know, texting his parents photos and videos. I mean, we just, it was crazy, but.
But laughter is medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I 100% agree with that. It just, it says it in the Bible, and it is so true.
Yeah. Then lastly, that Paul wants them, the Philippians, to boast in Jesus so that they abound more and more. He's wanting them to so give Christ that it just does not stop. He's wanting them to grow in that. So I wrote down, who are you continuing for in the gospel? Like, who makes you want to grow so that you can make them grow?
Who makes you want to grow that you can encourage them to grow? Well, you are one of them.
Okay.
For sure.
I have a few girls that I kind of try to look after in the halls and stuff and just help them out with whatever, and that's definitely one of those things that it's a huge encouragement.
Right.
My grandchildren.
Yeah.
My little Faith Miriam.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, that having that people group that you're investing in to be intentional really makes a difference.
Right.
I've been going through it, finished it like 2 days ago, a series by Mark Batterson called Primal.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if it was a theologian he was quoting or if it was a scientist. But he said that unintentional, he actually uses the word inintentional, but I looked it up. I couldn't find the word. It doesn't exist. I think he made up his own word. It's actually unintentional. But he says,
a Marxism.
We live in unintentional blindness. That we don't realize within our day all the things we do not see, and it's unintentional on our part. Like, we aren't aware. And I know this is a crazy one, but I've driven home from work before and not remembering the drive.
Oh, I've done that many times.
Just so in my thoughts that it was on
that's
autopilot.
That's how we know you need more sleep.
Yeah. Autopilot,
yeah. Yeah, you know, that we can be unintentionally blind. And thinking through all the people, who am I unintentionally blind to?
You know, and that's so true, because if we're not aware of who's around us all the time, we miss our opportunity.
Yeah, but then it's also an encouragement, because we aren't the only ones watching, because God is too. And, like, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and He will open our eyes if we are willing to listen.
There's the key.
And be like,
if we are willing to listen.
Exactly. Yeah. And, like, I mean, that's something that I try to always be very sensitive to. And I cannot count the number of times that God has just been like, that person. And it's like, okay, I assume you mean go talk to them or something along those lines. But, you know, it just, it's really, really cool. And He will open up so many opportunities and doors with people that you didn't even really realize were there, or that they needed anything, or, you know.
Mine are my neighbors right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not too far away. Well, you're always talking to somebody in Walmart or...
Yeah. I have my people at Walmart. But, you know, even on the in the Guatemala trip, we had all of these intentional places that we were going and intentionality where we were at these different villages. But I just giggled inside, because in the house that we were staying in, that was unintentional. It was not intentional for us to witness to the people in the house. Yet,
God had a different plan.
I stayed faithful to my normal daily habit. And because the courtyard, the way it's set up, all the bedrooms circle the courtyard. That's the living room. And it also has like a, I don't know, out, like it has a covering, but it's cold. And so every morning I would grab my comforter. And because I have, I don't know how many women were in my room sleeping and there's no space, I grab my blanket, my Bible, and my journal, and my flashlight, and I would go out into the courtyard and sit on the stool, and I would read my Bible by flashlight. And Mari, our house mom, the hostess, the one that owns the home, she would come out in the mornings, and every morning would see me reading my Bible. And she's, oh, it's so precioso. You know, she doesn't speak English, and I don't speak very good Spanish. And I heard her go into the kitchen when the cook showed up. And she was telling her, and I understand enough Spanish to understand what she's saying. She gets up every morning and reads her Bible. She's a good girl, is what she pretty much said about me. And that unintentional became intentional, because I wasn't intending to witness to Mari and her house, her chef, her cook, or maid, or whatever. I don't know what they call it there. And but it happened.
That happened to me with my grandsons when I was watching them. They're like, they're grown up now. But I remember one time just so into the Bible and reading every morning, you know, and pretty soon I had two little bodies sitting beside me and didn't even realize it. So unintentional, but it becomes intentional.
Right. Okay, that's good, because that's God moving in the Spirit of God, like Adriana's saying. But we have those unintentional moments where it's we're just out. We don't, we're not listening to the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we have to choose to be intentional. And so making sure that we are listening. So I'm sitting on the couch, same place where I had talked to the lady that, and then this young boy comes out. And it's really funny, because when I think on this memory with him, I think of him speaking to me in English, but he's only speaking in Spanish. It's really crazy. And he's talking to Grant, Michaela, Tori, and myself. And we're having this conversation with him that's his Spanish, our broken Spanish collectively. And we're evangelizing him, and he's evangelizing us. And he's like, you're evangelicals. And I couldn't understand the word. He's like, evangelical, you know, and I'm like, couldn't. And then it's like, wait, he's saying evangelicals. He was trying to determine if we were true followers. Mm. And it's really funny because we were trying to find out where he was. He was trying to, and it ended up, this guy, I think he was 11. And we talked about, like, he was asking really good questions, like favorite Bible verses. And I mean, back and forth. And he asked me, what was more important, the Holy Spirit or the Bible? Prayer in the Spirit or the Bible? And I answered, you have to have both. And if you do one without the other, you're out of balance. And like riding a bike. And we just had this great conversation. And so I saw a little guy there be intentional to reach us. And we were intentional. He was in because he was one of the singers in the Easter celebrations. And so he was in town to sing. And so it was fun to see how God could use that.
Well, I love that because there's no language barrier with God involved. Yeah. I mean, you're still going to get the message across, and it's not us doing it. You know,
we had the best time talking to him for about an hour, hour and a half, and just being where we're willing to make those connections. And so I'd like to say that the reason why Paul is willing to remain is because that something about making that connection with people, it feeds us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we said on the previous show that it's feeding the soul so that the spirit may be awakened. Mm-hmm. Nothing will feed your soul more than being intentional about sharing Jesus. Mm-hmm. It awakens the spirit as never before. And that's why Paul's continuing. Okay, so I had this thing. I think I may have shared it, but I don't remember last time. I'll reshare it though, just the same. The movie Risen. Mm-hmm. Did you go see it?
I did.
Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
Well, forgive me for spoiler alert.
That's okay. I think it's all written somewhere anyways.
I know. In the movie, there's the tribute. He's the over, and he and Simon Peter are looking over the cliff as the Roman soldiers are coming to kill them. And the tribute says, they've come for blood. And Peter says, we're not afraid anymore. And the tribute says, then be afraid for what you've been entrusted. Mm-hmm. And thinking through what that means for us, if we're going to continue, as Paul is challenging that he is continuing in their behalf, we have to be afraid for what we've been entrusted. Not as in afraid, as in fearful afraid, but as in unto righteousness we are moving so that we can reach them for the call of Christ. And Paul knew that he had been entrusted with the gospel message. We have to recognize that we have been given this truth too. And we have to ask, how am I seeking to honor it? And how am I seeking to proclaim it? And those are things I want you to be pondering on as we leave this week with Cultivating Hearts. And we just thank you for listening. And for those that are donors, God bless.